Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And we're here after having talked to Lendi Tyag last week about his new LEGO Ideas design of a Voltron LEGO set. We were talking at the end of that there was an addendum to that podcast where we had talked about the new trailer that had come out. And we didn't have a whole lot of time to talk about that because that had happened after we had already done the recording with Lendi. So now I want to bring back my co-host, Greg Tyler.
Hello, fellow Voltron fans. Great to be here.
Hi, Greg.
Howdy. I am so ready to talk Voltron. How about you?
I am too. Woo-hoo! We only have 24 days left.
I know. The clock is ticking.
It's getting closer and closer.
I know. I had an addendum to the Lendi interview. I just remembered. Lendi's been posting on his Facebook page that he is working on, just for his own interest and not for LEGO Ideas, as far as I know, the head of Voltron from Voltron Legendary Defender. It looks like a black lion with an articulated mouth. It's got the face. It looks like it's got a hatch on the top of the head to put a pilot in, and it looks like the mouth even opens like it does in the trailer, which I'm sure we'll talk about as we get into the trailer.
Yeah, and I saw he even had a minifigure at the bottom of that mouth, like it was like Lance walking in.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so go, Lendi, go.
Yeah, he's got until September to just find out about his LEGO Ideas design, so he's got plenty of time to fool around.
Yeah, he may come up with LEGO versions of absolutely everything in these first 13 episodes of the new show.
Yeah, that would be great.
It would.
All right, so, you know, there was this trailer, right?
Yes, and then there was another trailer.
Yes, I mean, that was the amazing part, is that we thought, okay, here's the official trailer, as it said on YouTube and everything, and it's on Voltron.com, it's on their Facebook, it's on Twitter, it's on everything. And then a couple days later, we get another one.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise.
Yeah, this one has a little bit more of a character highlight. I mean, we basically see Allura assigning the pilots to the Lions.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff all around, and I'm sure we'll get into that in more detail right about now.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We have I have a description of the trailers.
Okay.
And then also I have some reactions that the fans had to the trailers on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay, sounds cool.
So we'll talk about that. So let's just start right at the beginning of the trailer. We have the official Voltron Legendary Defender trailer. Starts off with a bit of comedy. Now, this is probably, I'm guessing, from the first episode. It seems like there's training being conducted at the Galaxy Garrison.
Yes, yes.
So we have Pidge, Lance, and Hunk have some time in the simulator. And Lance says, "All right, look alive, team." And then he makes a hard roll of the ship, causing Hunk to hurl. And Lance says,
"You're the worst pilot ever," or something like, or I'm sorry,
no,
what was it
no.
he said?
And there she blows.
So does Hunk blow Hunks? Ew. Ew.
Hunk,
anyway.
Hunk blows chunks.
Yes, he does. Anyway.
Those are the chunky hunkies.
Yes.
And as we heard from Tyler Labine at WonderCon, apparently Hunk does this a lot in the first few episodes.
Oh, okay.
So get used to it.
Yes, and one might think this is maybe reminiscent of Hunk's fear of heights in the earliest episodes of Voltron back in the 80s. You know, they climbed out of that prison cell in the Tower of Dungeons on Planet Doom, and Hunk is actually grabbing onto Pidge because he's afraid he's going to fall.
Yeah, he's always had an uneasy stomach, but he can sure pack in a lot of the food, huh?
Yeah.
So immediately following this is the next scene is in the debriefing with the rest of the cadets. And it looks like the sergeant or whoever he is says, "Can anyone point out the mistakes these three made in the simulator?" And another cadet answers, "The engineer puked in the main gearbox." And as we look upon the suffering faces of some of the other cadets, we hear Hunk say, "Sorry," off to the side.
Yeah.
That first part was all, here's these guys in their element as the series starts.
Right.
So the DreamWorks Animation Television logo displays with a thrust sound, and we hear Hunk saying, "We shouldn't be doing this." And we see Lance, Pidge, and Hunk sneaking around the base. And Lance says, "You know, for someone in a space exploration program, you don't have much of a sense of adventure."
Yeah.
So you're getting back to that thing where he's just fearful all the time. And of course, he's the type of guy who likes to follow the rules, I guess. Obviously, it's Pidge who gets them through doors that they probably shouldn't have access to get through, right?
Right, probably.
As they're sneaking around. So the next scene shows them on the same cliff ledge that we saw them on in the WonderCon clip. Pidge is looking at a computer and hooked up to like a mini satellite dish,
right,
listening to headphones.
Right.
So while Lance has his night vision goggles in his hands looking across the valley, Pidge says, "I've been scanning the system and picking up alien radio chatter. They keep repeating one word." Now Pidge lifts up a notebook and shows them a notebook with doodles all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the doodles looks like a large robot with a large sword.
Right.
And he says, "Voltron."
Right. So this actually, you know, in addition to, you know, there's some chatter and all this other stuff, there's a subtext there, or I don't know about a subtext, but at least a suggestion of a larger world that these people from planet Earth might actually know about already. You know, when they talk about alien chatter, it doesn't seem like, what? There are aliens and they're chattering? It's alien chatter, which suggests that whatever this futuristic world is, the people of Earth are already familiar with extraterrestrials. So that helps to set the stage for the show, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. At that moment, then they see a ship crash land within like a mile or two of their location.
Yep.
I'm thinking that's Shiro's ship that they go after and, you know, try to rescue him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The words "a Netflix original series" come up with a loud machine sound effects behind it. And we switch from our hero side to our villain side.
Right.
So we have Hagar and Emperor Zarkon. As we found out, it's Emperor Zarkon. They appear in this next scene. And of course, there's purple light shining on them.
Yes, purple is evil.
Yes. Hagar says, "It is time to reclaim what is rightfully ours." And now Hagar's voice isn't as old and scratchy as it used to be in the previous series.
Right.
So Zarkon says, "Yes, soon we will rule the universe." Now, we've heard that before.
We have. In fact, we interviewed the guy who said that many times.
That's right.
Mr. Jack Angel, yes.
Yes, Jack Angel knows how to say those words.
He does indeed, after all these years. And I believe Neil Kaplan is the person who'll be uttering them this time around, right?
Yes. Now, from what we had heard from Tim Hedrick, the story editor for Voltron Legendary Defender,
mm-hmm.
That while Karan and Allura had been in a cryogenic sleep for 10,000 years, that Zarkon had been out ruling the universe.
Right.
So I had thought that he already did rule the universe coming into this. So as we find out, I guess he hasn't.
Well, you know, the universe is pretty big. It's all relative. Maybe he only owns the far universe. Who knows?
Right, and apparently he hasn't hit the areas around Earth yet.
Right. And I guess we should point out, since this is an audio-only podcast, that we don't really get a look at what Hagar's face looks like, but we do get a tight close-up of Zarkon's, and he looks quite different than he did in the original series and the third dimension. So it seems like the folks of Planet Galra are getting a facelift.
Well, to me, you know, the first thing I thought of is that he reminds me of Thanos from the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. I mean, because Thanos has a purple face. And it's very similar to this face. But like I said, we only got to see a side of the face. As he's saying those words, yes, soon we will rule the universe, we see a single small ship heading toward a green planet surrounded by a blue atmosphere and clouds, which could be Altea, but I'm not sure which planet that is.
Yeah, who knows? It may be a planet we've never heard of before. It doesn't need to be Altea or Earth, but who knows?
Right. And this is, like they said, they expanded the universe, so we're going to see a lot more than just a planet or two.
Right.
So our next scene shows Keith on the speeder bike we saw from the WonderCon trailer. And the other guys are getting on it, but it sounds like Shiro is saying the lines, "Guys, you should come see this." As all five approach Blue Lion in a cave surrounded by a force field, and Shiro says, "What is that?" They all say, "Whoa."
And it's in that sort of grid or honeycomb-like force field, right? That kind of a bubble?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then the force field comes down around Blue Lion, and then the lion's head comes down, and Lance says, "Good kitty." Then he gives a characteristically cocky grunt as he walks into the cockpit of Blue Lion.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I wanted to touch on something I forgot to mention. When Hagar talks about reclaiming what's rightfully theirs,
yeah,
you get a bit of backstory suggested there. What is it that they are reclaiming? What did they lose if Allura and Karan have been in cryosleep for 10,000 years? What is to stop Zarkon and Hagar from keeping whatever it is that they once claimed but lost? You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's a suggestion of a deep backstory there that will certainly learn more about. But anyway, sorry for the sidetrack.
It's okay. It could go as deep as King Alfor.
Yeah, who knows?
The next scene shows Blue Lion busting out the side of a butte in the desert. So that was the cave that they were in, and it just busts out of the side. It looks like the side of a butte, like in the desert. Do you know what a butte is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the place where Airwolf was parked back in the 80s. I mean,
yes. Yes.
You know.
I was wondering that would be funny if they were in that cave and they saw Airwolf first and then said, "Oh, it's just a helicopter, guys. Forget about it."
I can see it now. "What the heck is that, Dom?" "I don't know, string." You know. Sorry. I haven't watched that show in years, so I apologize to Jan Michael Vincent and Ernest Borgnine. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that would have been funny. They bust out of the side of it, and while inside the cockpit, Lance is piloting while everyone else is screaming and holding on to each other.
Right.
Now, this scene of all the scenes in the trailers seems to be the most pure anime to me, just the looks on their faces and everything.
Oh, yeah, their faces are all contorted and twisted and weird and, yeah,
Yeah. So as this joyride makes its way out to space and it looks like it comes back to Earth, I'm thinking, but I'm not sure, Hunk declares to Lance, "You are the worst pilot ever."
Yeah, fun stuff.
But, you know, Hunk probably doesn't like a lot of people's piloting, and at this point we don't know how much of the piloting is being done by Lance and how much is maybe being done by Blue Lion himself.
Right.
So that's hard to judge. But then we see Blue Lion land on what appears to be like an ancient temple on Altea.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lance says, "Where are we?" "We're in what I hope is the control room of the Castle of Lions." Mm-hmm. Right. This is where the good stuff happens here. Mm-hmm. There's a hologram of the stars all around our heroes, and Allura is there.
Right.
And to me, it looks very Tron-like. You know, there's a lot of Tron-type colors and angles and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
So as we briefly zoom in on Allura, she says, "You five were brought here for a reason." Of course, she has that accent, right? It's a very regal, almost British-like accent.
Right. And it's going to be interesting just to touch on this. I mean, you know, Allura appears, but we've been told through the WonderCon interviews that you conducted that she's been in cryosleep for 10,000 years. So did she wake up in the narrative before the pilots arrived and she's just kind of waiting for them to show up? Or did their arrival trigger her waking up and we're picking up, you know, a few minutes after she's revived? You know what I mean? So there's a lot that we don't know yet, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And these trailers, like I said, could be in any order, then not necessarily chronological order, even though it appears like that in the way we're describing it.
Right.
But there could be tons of things we're missing here.
Exactly.
So she says, "You five were brought here for a reason," and she displays another hologram in her hands of what looks like one of the lions. And we see all five lions zoom up in the sky like they're going to form Voltron.
Yep.
And then that quickly brings us back to our team, now dressed in matching uniforms.
Right.
And Allura continues, "Together, you will form Voltron."
I wonder how much these, again, this is just my brain trying to read between the lines, I wonder how much the pilots actually know about Voltron. You know, we saw the scene where Pidge is saying, you know, there's all this chatter and there's one word, Voltron. Do any of these people know what Voltron is yet? Or is this the first time they've ever even heard of it? I mean, you know, in the original series, Keith tells the other pilots, but, you know, I got the impression they already knew of the Legend of Voltron. He's kind of telling them for the sake of telling the audience about the Legend of Voltron, you know, and in the other two series, the Third Dimension and Voltron Force, you know, Voltron is a given. But in this new series, do these guys have a clue what Voltron is? That'll be interesting to see.
I'm getting a strong sense they know nothing about it.
Yeah, very likely.
Nothing. As they show some of the same scenes that we saw in the teaser trailer where the mechanics of Voltron coming together are shown.
Yeah.
We hear Allura continue. After she had said Voltron, she says, "The greatest weapon ever known." Then a shot of yellow, red, green, and blue looking up at Black Lion, looking down from it, looks like Shiro's cockpit. And then she says, "Protector of the innocent." And then we see the lions running and flying up. "And our only hope to save the universe." So we see fighters firing laser blasts, and they appear to be Zarkon's Galra forces. As the last parts of Voltron come together, we see Hunk saying, "Geez, no pressure." That whole section there was just saying they are going to become the team that unites these lions together to form the greatest weapon ever known, who also is the protector of the innocent and is going to save the universe.
You know, it's interesting. You know, the two of us, obviously, and many of our listeners are obviously established Voltron fans. So we're watching this trailer from the perspective of, you know, folks who have watched and enjoyed Voltron in the past. I'm very curious to see how this plays to people who don't know what Voltron is or have heard of it but have never really watched it. And I'm thinking specifically of the Legend of Korra and Avatar crowd. You know, I mean, you're dealing with, you know, you're setting up what Voltron is. It is implied that these guys don't really know what it is themselves, and Allura is explaining it to them. And she's explaining it to them in very bold terms, which, of course, we already know. I mean, we know what Voltron is, but it's interesting to see how Voltron is described in these bold but vague terms. And it'll be interesting. I would love to hear from people who had not seen much Voltron before to hear what their reaction might have been to all this.
Yeah, and of course, you know, some people may be saying, okay, what have these five done to earn the right to pilot the greatest weapon ever known?
Right, right. I mean, especially Lance and Hunk, the worst pilot ever, and the guy who throws up in the gearbox.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Lance just seems way too cocky to get this kind of an honor.
Yeah,
it seems like an honor.
Yeah, he seems like the guy who would hang out with Jay and Silent Bob in front of the Quick Stop. You know what I mean? Snoogans, but, we'll see how it plays out.
Okay. So the next scene, we see the same Voltron jumping down with huge explosions behind him like we saw in the previous trailer, the teaser trailer.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a Robeast or some really huge warship or what, but it looked cool.
Yeah, and there's that loud, bombastic music playing over it.
Yeah, I think Michael Bay would be proud for that shot, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. It seems like a Michael Bay shot. Well, then Shiro, surrounded by the others, says, "Defenders of the Universe, huh?" And he looks up and continues, "That's got a nice ring to it." So then we see the fiery slash into the Voltron Legendary Defender logo with a narrator saying, DreamWorks Voltron Legendary Defender, all episodes June 10th, only on Netflix.
Cool stuff.
So that was about a minute and 36 seconds long.
Uh-huh.
Which was longer than the teaser trailer, but still, it's shorter than what we've seen as, like, see, like, a movie trailer or something like that, which are usually 2 to 2.5 minutes long.
Right.
But this is only a trailer for the first 13 episodes of what we hope is a lot more.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, speaking of which...
Uh-huh.
Did you see the flashback to a 2014 article mentioning how Studio Mir got signed on to do 78 episodes with DreamWorks?
No. No, this is news to me.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, well, there was an article, you know, back in 2014, and our friends from Australia have pointed it out to us.
Oh, this was on Twitter. Somebody mentioned that, right?
Right.
Okay.
And the article mentions that, you know, the fact that Studio Mir got hired on by DreamWorks after they had been working with Nickelodeon, you know, on the Avatar and Legend of Korra series.
Okay.
So that sort of leads us to believe that maybe there's a possibility of at least 78 episodes here.
Hmm. If that came to pass, then the number of episodes of this series would actually transcend the number of Lion Force episodes from the 80s.
From the original series?
Yeah, I mean, there were 72 Lion Force episodes, 52 adapted from Beast King Go Lion, 20 originally animated episodes, and that makes a total of 72 Lion Force-only episodes. And
right.
If this were to come to pass, they would actually surpass the 80s show. How interesting would that be?
Yes. And that would make it 6 seasons of 13 episode drops.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how often they'd release these or how frequently they'd release the seasons. And again, we're speculating completely about anything beyond 13, but it sure would leave a lot of room for tie-in merchandise like toys, fellow toy fans. Wink, wink.
Yes. Can you imagine the merchandising possibilities if it goes 6 years?
Yeah, and remember, it's Playmates, guys. I mean, these guys have made probably about 50 billion distinct Ninja Turtles toys over the years.
and we're not just talking about toys. We're talking about clothing and, you know, like party supplies and, you know, things that you would, you know, like set up for your bathroom or something like that, like soap dispenser dishes or things like that. I mean, anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I obviously there are a lot of diehard Voltron collectors who tune in. I consider myself one of those. You know, if you've ever searched eBay just on a lark for Voltron stuff in general, just the word Voltron, and you filter out the obvious stuff like DVDs, videotapes, and comics and stuff, the amount of oddball merchandise out there from the 80s is insane. So, you know, if this show takes off similarly to how the 80s series did, oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's going to be crazy in a good way.
And with Voltron in the spotlight for that many years or that many episodes, and Voltron just, you know, coming to the forefront in a worldwide medium, the possibility of that live action movie is even stronger.
Oh, sure. And you know, Bob Coppler obviously couldn't comment on this. He has his hat to wear as president of WEP.
That's
right. We as mere fans are free to speculate. And one of the things I said that Bob did not react to, and I didn't expect him to, again, he's got his own hat to wear and we respect him and love him for it.
Right.
You know, I speculated that, you know, what better way to convince a studio to make a big budget feature film than to have a highly successful recent television series? You know, it's one thing to say Voltron was really big in the mid 1980s. Isn't that cool? Let's make a movie. That's one thing. But when you can say it was big then, among people who are in a slightly older than 18 to 34 demographic. And now it's big with kids and tweens and teens and, you know, people of all ages. Now let's make a movie. And so, again, this is all speculation. But obviously, if this show becomes a hit, yeah, this would really lay the groundwork for a possible feature.
Right. Let's move on to the second trailer then, okay?
Yes, this was a surprise trailer.
Yes, we were notified by Linda Endinger of Snarktron Force from Twitter. Over the weekend, I was watching Captain America Civil War, and I came out and saw this tweet. So I wanted to see what you guys thought of the latest clip. So I started looking out on Voltron.com, and I didn't see anything. And I had to send a reply back. I said, okay, where was this clip? So she said it was on the Voltron Facebook page. So I went to the Voltron Facebook page and I saw this clip, and wow, wasn't expecting that at all. And it was sort of quietly just thrown out there on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
So have you seen this?
I have. And to give you a story of what I was doing, you know, this is the whole, where were you when, you know, I was just routinely checking Twitter on my smartphone. After I was taking a little bit of a breather from playing Playmobil toys with my 4.5-year-old daughter, and which included Panache Place Voltron figures, and it was her idea. But anyway,
okay.
So we were playing, and I had taken a breather and went out on Twitter and saw, I think I saw your comment saying, where is this thing? And then I had to do some digging, and then I found and watched the trailer too. So yeah, anyway, yes, I've seen it.
Okay. All right. Well, this one is sort of like a character highlight reel.
Yeah.
All right. It definitely shows Allura. Looks like she's assigning the pilots to their lines.
Yep.
So Allura's voice starts with Shiro almost combining with Black Lion at the same time. The images are very, you know, I don't know, fantastical. But as she says, it is a mystical bond. The lions choose their pilots. Together, they form something greater than science can explain. And we see Voltron forming Blazing Sword, and this time, it's real blazing fire.
Hmm. Living up to its name.
Yes, yes. And Allura starts assigning the pilots. The Black Lion needs a born leader. Shiro, you will pilot the Black Lion. So this whole thing is just, as each pilot is being mentioned, as each person is being mentioned, there's like three windows combining together like the old days, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Like how you would see each of the members of the pilots all in one screen, but divided.
Yeah, they call it a split screen, right?
Right. Well, this split screen was divided three ways.
Yep.
And like on the left, you would see the pilot. In the middle, you would see the head or the body of the lion. And then on the right, you would see them in action.
Right. I have to say very quickly, as an aside, I always wish they would have shown all 15 of the vehicle team pilots in a split screen, because then it would have looked like the Brady Bunch. You know what I mean? But anyway, let's go. Let's go on.
Okay. Or Hollywood Squares.
Yes, there, and Joan Rivers forms the head. Anyway. Ooh, we digress.
Yeah. All right, so then she moves on to the Green Lion. She says, the Green Lion needs a pilot of intellect and daring. Pidge, you will pilot the Green Lion.
Very cool. I am so excited about Pidge. Can't wait to learn more about Pidge.
Right.
That's all I'll say about that.
Yes. So she starts off the Blue Lion, but then she gets cut off by Lance, who's sitting cross-legged. He says, whoa, hold up, let me guess. Takes the most handsome / best pilot of the bunch. And as he says the last part, he smiles, and his teeth shine from end to end.
Yeah, very anime-like.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Well, Allura doesn't even say anything anymore. Shiro reprimands him and says, Lance! So we don't even get to find out really why the Blue Lion is going with Lance.
I almost, and I hate to invoke Power Rangers. I know a lot of Voltron fans hate Power Rangers. Oh, well. In the first movie back in the mid-90s, I remember one of the characters was given a frog Zord, and it was sort of a running gag that he got stuck with a frog. And I wonder if Blue Lion is getting stuck with Lance because there's no one else around. You know what I mean?
Right.
sort of a reverse frog thing. I don't know.
Yeah. In contrast to that, the Yellow Lion is caring and kind. And Hunk, you will pilot the Yellow Lion. So here is the biggest guy in the group, the most muscular, you know, guy you would think would be the toughest, is the most caring and kind.
Yeah. I love that. And again, going back to the original series, I remember... I can't remember the episode title offhand, but where he's very sympathetic to a group of small kids that he had visited before on some other planet. And there was an episode where a young girl had supposedly escaped from Planet Doom as a slave. And whereas Keith was very skeptical that maybe this was a trick, and it turned out to be a trick, Hunk bonded with her very quickly and was very protective of her. So it is sort of in keeping with the original series. And then in the third dimension, I remember there was an episode where Pidge had sort of made fun of Hunk for being dumb or something, and you got to see his softer side. I mean, it really those words really stung him. And so this is really kind of keeping with that, where, and even in Voltron Force, the Hunkyard, where Hunk feels kind of left out that he's not bonding with the cadets like the other pilots are. So there's a history of Hunk being the soft guy, and so this is pretty cool to see.
Yep. So we move on to the Red Lion. So she says, the Red Lion is faster and more agile than the others. Keith, you will fly the Red Lion. And Lance says, what? This guy?
That's got to be an in-joke.
Yeah, which basically turns Keith's smile to a frown quickly.
Yeah.
So, Allura continues, once all the lions are united, you will form the most powerful warrior ever known. So then we see Voltron with blazing sword, slashing, of course, to the logo.
Yeah.
The narrator says, DreamWorks Voltron Legendary Defender, and then they cut to Hunk, standing with the others, and he says, okay, we're going to be in there, and flying lions got that part. How do lions turn into legs? Also, is this going to be a long trip because I have to pee? Then we see Black Lion roar, and then the narrator says, all new episodes, June 10th, only on Netflix.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So we really learn, you know, that the lions pick their pilots, that it's much more mystical, and it can't be explained by science.
Mm-hmm.
And the blazing sword really does blaze.
Yes.
At least when it's being, you know, when they call blazing sword, or I don't even know if they're even going to call blazing sword.
Maybe they'll call it Jyoken. Sorry, Go Lion reference. anyway.
So, yeah, we're not sure how it's going to happen yet, but we, from what we saw, like the Voltron puts his arms up and comes down with this fiery sword.
Yeah.
And then it turns into the bluish color.
Right. Yeah, I think the thing I'm most curious about is how Allura knows who's going to fly which lion. And I know that sounds really weird, but if the lions choose their pilot, somehow she has to know, you know, who the lions have chosen and be able to explain why. So I know that sounds really in the weeds, but for her to have that insight, she's got to have a special bond of some kind with the lions, or at least be able to read a computer screen that says, I'm Blue Lion and I'm choosing Lance. You know what I mean? So what's going right on there? How does she know this stuff?
So she's got to have some kind of mystical connection to the lions too.
Yeah. So that'll be cool.
Yeah. And like you said before, how is it that she comes to know these guys if she's been in a cryogenic sleep for 10,000 years? And you know, how long is it that they're actually there after they find Blue Lion?
Yeah.
Before she starts saying these things?
Right, and I really, really want to know what has happened on planet Eris during those 10,000 years. You know, it's we don't know what it was like when they were put in cryogenic sleep. So there's a whole lot we don't know, but, you know, a whole lot of stuff can happen in 10,000 years. I'm very interested to see how they touch on that as this story unfolds.
Well, a lot can happen with covering backstory in these first 13 episodes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know we're not going to get all the things, all of our questions answered in 13 episodes, but I mean, I'm sure we'll get some of those answered, you know, by the time we get done this first drop.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Good stuff.
So we've got, obviously, not just our reactions out there. We have some reactions from the fans on both Facebook and Twitter that we'd like to share with everybody.
Let's go for it.
So let's start with Facebook. Okay, so from the post that is actually on the Voltron Facebook page, our first one is Will Foskey. He says, "Feels good, the right amount of nostalgia with a modernized tone. I watched the trailer and immediately thought about the 80s theme music when the show begins to build up to the formation of Voltron."
Oh, cool.
Chills.
Yeah, neat.
So that's pretty cool. If it can bring back those memories and also the hair standing up on your skin kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if they're able to do that to people who have, you know, been longtime fans of Voltron, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. It sounds like they've been pushing some of the right buttons. That's good.
So Troy Lamont says, "I am willing to see if Netflix and DreamWorks can do with Voltron Legendary Defender what Nickelodeon and World Events couldn't do with Voltron Force, entertaining both the original Voltron fan base and create a new generation of fans."
I agree with the sentiment that I hope this new show is a success. I will say that although Voltron Force just lasted 26 episodes for a single season, it did reach longtime and new fans. My nephews dug the show. My daughter still loves the show, and I obviously love the show. But it didn't seem to reach the numbers that people wanted, and that's unfortunate. But I do share in the sentiment that I hope this show is a huge success.
Yeah. So there's also another person named Philip Eisler, who says, "So I have a question for the Voltron staff. Is the animation handled by the same or a portion of the team that did Avatar The Last Airbender and its sequel for Nickelodeon?" Well, we can tell Philip that ourselves, right?
I assume you can. I didn't do the homework to know for sure, but
the animation is being handled by the same studio, Studio Mir.
Ah, that's right. Okay.
I handled Avatar and The Legend of Korra.
There we go. Yes.
Yep. When DreamWorks got a hold of this whole crew that worked on Avatar and The Legend of Korra, it was just amazing timing, because Bob Coppler said the same thing. It just happened to be really good timing.
And I'm sure it was great timing for all of those folks as well. I mean, not just because, you know, it would be an exciting opportunity to jumpstart a revered property from the 80s and make something exciting and new and different. But also, you know, the entertainment industry, these kinds of studios, they live and die on, you know, as projects come and go. And, you know, for the timing to sync up while these folks are all still together and the companies are still intact, you know, I mean, I can't speak for, I don't know what would have happened otherwise to the fine folks who worked on those shows before, but it's not uncommon for studios to fold and when projects go away, especially visual effects firms in Hollywood and all that. So it's fortuitous to those fine folks for a multitude of reasons, not only a fun project, but a project at all. And it's great for us because we're going to get to see the fruits of their labor. So I'm really thrilled all around for this. This is good stuff.
Yeah, I am too. All right, so Casey Pitagara went to the Voltron panel at WonderCon.
Woohoo!
It was amazing. One of my favorite panels at WonderCon. The creators, cast, host Jessica Chobot, and the Voltron production crew were awesome. Also, thank you for the Voltron poster and signing. It made WonderCon so much better.
How cool.
So that's good to have another reaction from somebody who was actually at WonderCon.
Yes, yes. I makes me want to have gone there all the more, but you know.
Also, Brian Chapman. Okay, so I watched the show as a kid back in the 80s, and despite the fact I remembered virtually nothing about the original, I was blanking on the entire idea of doing a reboot of it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he wasn't happy with the idea of doing a reboot of it, I guess. But this wisecracking but still actionist crew of misfits take on things actually won me over enough to think it might actually be good. Hopefully they won't go for extreme camp and reuse the same footage and re-explain the lines fitting together every episode. But I suppose a nod to the original and I'll form the head is rather obligatory the first time around.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I love the perspective that we've just heard. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar perspective in that people are skeptical that you could actually pull this off.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, this was a show that was, you know, crammed together from two Japanese shows, and all they had was the animation. Right. They had to put everything else together, the voices, the music, the sound effects, you know, cut it together so it made sense kind of thing.
Oh, sure.
And it was being done by World Events Productions out of St. Louis, not out of Hollywood.
Right.
And they put together a production team that worked in Southern California that put this together. It was Peter Keefe's vision, and it was John Teichman, and it was
Franklin Kofod.
Right. And Jameson Brewer and all these people, Mark Handler and everybody else that put together this story. And of course the great voice talents.
Right.
So, I mean, to imagine that this thing, and also when it came out, it didn't come out in like the order that we thought it was going to come out.
Right.
Like some of the storylines weren't in chronological order.
Yeah, actually, I got to tell you, I am nerdy enough that I made a spreadsheet of the Lion episodes when they originally aired versus when the sequence in which they came out versus when they came out in Go Lion and Die Rugger. And it is astonishing how out of sequence many of the episodes are. It's just amazing. So anyway, go ahead.
So it amazes me that this many people around the world remember this so fondly and remember it so awesomely when it came together so ragtaggedly. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And it really speaks to the talents of everyone who worked on that series, that the show etched such strong and vivid and powerful memories in so many people that they remember it to any degree, much less to the degree that the hardcore fans remember it, you know, all these years later, and to the point where even faint memories of the show can be sort of re-energized and be given new life by this new trailer. Pretty exciting stuff.
And they really did capture lightning in a bottle back then in 84.
Yeah.
But to have fans today say to them, "Don't screw up my show, man." When we're talking about DreamWorks and we're talking about the production crew who made Legend of Korra and Avatar the Last Airbender, and they've got that whole production team making, you know, animation from scratch, voices, sound, music, everything, and it's in a style that fans recognize.
Right.
And it's anime.
Yep.
So I mean, it's, how can you go wrong? I mean, you're breaking this, you know, from the start, and you're making good story, and you're making good characters, and you're making a bigger universe for Voltron to play in. So how could they go wrong?
Well, I mean, you know, who knows? But I am very optimistic and hyped about the show, and I do like that. Even those who might be skeptical have seemingly decided they want to give this thing a try, and we'll see how it works out. Okay. I will say this. I have noticed on especially the Voltron Facebook page itself, there have been a lot of people, and I'm not going to say they're a majority. I don't think they are. I think they're a vocal minority of commenters saying, they screwed up the show. The pilots are wrong. Keith flew the Black Lion. Lance flew the Red Lion. Who's Shiro, for crying out loud? Where is Finn? And they don't know Voltron. And my gut reaction to all of those posts is, I bet these guys know Voltron today better than you know Voltron today. to be able to make an all-new series based on a sort of best of both worlds from Voltron and Go Lion, you've got to know both of them front to back. So these guys know exactly what they're doing. And even if things differ from the original series, first of all, I say yes, because if it was a carbon copy of either Go Lion or the 80s show, why make a new show at all? So I'm okay with the differences, and we don't know anything about how this story is going to unfold. It may be that the pilot lineup will change over the course of these episodes from what we have seen so far. So I would encourage everyone to watch this show with the same open mind that you had when you watched the original show. Let's give the show a chance to fly.
Right. Well, here's another one. Chris Cole says, can I just say I am incredibly happy it is on Netflix and not some garbage like Fox who would just gut it after one season? did you hear about the latest Fox cancellations?
I heard a few things here and there, but my thoughts keep going back to Firefly back in the early 2000s. That was a show that was very well-received by its fans and died a very sudden death after only about a dozen episodes. Which shows were you talking about?
Well, they had Bordertown. Bordertown had been on the Sunday night Fox lineup, which is, you know, you can't go wrong with that lineup. They had The Simpsons, they have Family Guy, they had Bob's Burgers, you know, and then they put in Bordertown. So how can you go wrong with that, right? Well, apparently, they axed it after only one season.
Hmm. Yeah, so. I'm pretty tuned out with respect to just about everything on TV these days. I mean, that'll change, of course, when Voltron hits Netflix June 10th. But unless it's a home repair show or a show that one of the shows that my daughter watches, I'm pretty clueless about TV these days.
There's another Facebook comment by Joaquin Stewart. I am crying with joy. Voltron was my childhood, and like the Neo Geo, everybody wanted the toy, but nobody had it. I would gaze at the $100 plus deluxe sets at the mall and drool, want, and dream.
Mm-hmm. I think I might have relayed this story in an earlier episode of the podcast, but when I was a kid in Greenville, Ohio, there was a store called Harts, H-A-R-T-S. It was a chain department store, much like Kmart or Murphy's Mart or Ames or Hills or whatever. Well, anyway, the Voltron toys were so expensive that they chose to display them in the sporting goods section in the gun, the glass display case where they had pistols and ammunition. They didn't trust, these were the deluxe sets, not the individual Lion 2-packs and vehicle teams, but the big deluxe sets. They put them in a glass case back in the sporting goods section because they were so expensive they were afraid people were going to steal them. Yeah, and they had the weapons to defend the toys if someone did try to steal them, I guess.
Okay. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. It says Raymond Mapalad. In this rebooted universe, the vehicle team doesn't exist. However, I hope this Voltron really focuses on defending the universe and not just their base planet. It sounds like it will.
Yeah, definitely.
And one more from Facebook. Rodney John says, looks all right, but what about the theme song? Please do not screw it up. If you don't know what to do, then do nothing. It's a rare situation, but sometimes you need to change something, if you know what I mean. Just remaster it and watch ratings skyrocket. So there's a fan of the original music right there.
Well, who doesn't love the original theme? That's awesome stuff.
So there's a lot of fans out there clamoring for the original theme to be a part of it, whereas from what we heard from WonderCon, it sounds like they're not going to do that. But you never know. They might throw it in and have it be something that we get a little snippet of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to switch over to Voltron on Twitter now.
Okay.
Jeff Hubbard says, "This is what happens when you put fans in charge. Thank you for bringing Voltron back and giving it the respect it deserves."
Cool.
Roth Sothy says, "Liking the look of the new Voltron series, fun and colorfully detailed, harkens back to the original Voltron."
Yes, it does. It does seem to pass the squint test. Certainly the pilots do.
And he also says, "I think the one thing missing is the signature electric space rock soundtrack for the opening and ending theme."
But, you know, this show needs to have its own identity. And if they do revisit the original theme, awesome stuff. But
right.
I'm looking forward to this taking a new direction, you know, thematically, from a plot perspective, character perspective, and from a musical perspective. So it'll be fun to see what they do with this.
Right. Javier DeJesus says, "This looks amazing. Can't wait to watch." And Futurama Fan 4 says, "Can't wait till this comes out." So we got a Futurama fan that also likes this.
Very good.
That's what I got from the Voltron fans from Facebook page and the Voltron Twitter account.
Very cool. I do think we have some very excited fans out there. And I do think that there is, for any property that gets rebooted, there is always a bit of a knee-jerk, "It's not like the one I remember" kind of response. And that is a valid response to have. But please, guys, give the show a shot. I mean, I have not seen it. I have no clue what it's going to be like. I suspect it's going to be really, really awesome, Tron. But can't help it. But, you know, just have an open mind. You guys, I mean, all of us, when we had never seen Voltron before, we had no preconceptions of what it should be or shouldn't be. We already know what the 80s series should be or shouldn't be because we've all seen it. We don't have that perspective about this new show. It does have the trademark. It's got a lot of character names. You know there's going to be a lot of similarities, but there should be and are going to be a lot of differences, and let's celebrate and enjoy it for what it is rather than you know, rag on it before it's even gotten a chance to get out of the gate. I do think that we've had a much more positive response to these trailers than negative, and that's exciting stuff. I think this is going to be an awesome show, and again, just let's just enjoy the ride. This is going to be a blast.
Yeah, and it's the fun factor that I'm looking for, because you know, to just be able to have brand new Voltron out there and in our hands and being able to watch it over and over again if we want.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having to wait from week to week, right, like we've had to do in the past.
Yep. So we can watch them all at once and then wait months.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I mean, that gives us a chance to review all those episodes.
Yes. And I got to tell you, Mark, and fellow fans out there in cyberspace, we will be reviewing the individual episodes over time. And it's going to be a blast. I think you'll enjoy the ride here with this podcast as we enjoy reviewing this brand new series with you.
And obviously, you know, this podcast is a place where you can go to enjoy, you know, talking about Voltron. You can experience it with us. You can participate with us. There's plenty of places for you to go. There's our Facebook page at Let's Voltron on Twitter. We have also the Pinterest account. We have an Instagram account. We have letsvoltron.com, where the actual episodes are coming out.
Yeah, and we're striving to be the Voltron fan connection out there. And this, it's not just for Legendary Defender, although obviously that's getting a lot of attention and deservedly so. But anything Voltron is what we're all about here at Let's Voltron. So if you want to talk Legendary Defender, Voltron Force, Voltron of the Third Dimension, Defender of the Universe, Go Lion, Die Rugger, not just the shows, but merchandise, anything. We are here for you, the fans. So let's Voltron.
And as I'm glad you mentioned that, Greg, because our very next episode, we are going back and we're going to be reviewing four episodes from the original Voltron series, Defender of the Universe. So, you know, we've been doing this since we started the podcast back in 2013. We've had episode review episodes of the podcast where we've reviewed four episodes at a shot. So this one's going to be the next four episodes in continuing where we left off from before.
Yeah.
So we'll have Dan Jolly back, and he'll be giving us his perspective on both the Go Lion and the Voltron side.
Yep. And I have watched the Voltron and Go Lion episodes, so I have some thoughts on both to share as well. So this ought to be fun.
Yes, this is going to be great.
Yep.
So we'll take a step back in time, and we'll go back to the original Voltron series, and we'll review some of those episodes, and then we'll come right back and we'll talk about Voltron Legendary Defender again.
Yes, and I have to say, when you talked about taking a step back, I was thinking of Wayne's World.
Wavy lines.
That's right. Party on, Mark.
Okay, party on, Greg. All right, so that's going to do it for us for this week, and we'll see you all next time on
Let's Voltron.
It is a mystical bond. The Lions choose their pilots. Together, they form something greater than science can explain. The Black Lion needs a born leader. Shiro, you will pilot the Black Lion. The Green Lion needs a pilot of intellect and daring. Pidge, you will pilot the Green Lion. The Blue Lion...
Whoa, hold up, let me guess. Takes the most handsome / best pilot of the bunch? Lance!
The Yellow Lion is caring and kind. Hunk, you will pilot the Yellow Lion.
Ooh.
The Red Lion is faster and more agile than the others. You will fly the Red Lion.
What? This guy?
Once all the lions are united, you will form the most powerful warrior ever known.
DreamWorks Voltron, Legendary Defender.
Wait, okay, we're going to be in there and flying lions. Got that part. How do lions turn into legs? Also, is this going to be a long trip? Because I have to pee.
All new episodes June 10th. Only on Netflix.